If you just tuned in, this is the morning show on KRFY. I'm today's host, Chris Bessler, speaking with Michael Rosedale, our county clerk and our chief elections officer. We're talking about what folks need to know for the upcoming May 21st primary election. I'm actually going to want to swing back before we end this and go through the candidates that are going to be on the ballot again, just because some people tune in later. Michael, so what does it take to get all these polling places staffed and the people that show up and spend a long day to help us make this process work?
It's a huge logistic thing. And actually, it's Bonner County's biggest public-facing event, period. And so that is, it's a huge, huge thing. We have between 200, 250 people voting as poll workers. And they're volunteer. We do pay them. Not a whole lot, but we do pay them. But they're volunteers, and we're at their mercies. And fortunately, we get great ones helping us out. What happens is every year by law, they have to attend training. And so we have three-hour blocks of training on the new laws, working the equipment, and then a separate training for our touch writers, which are for the people that are blind, that can't see or need help with that zip puff. Being able to mark their own ballots. The ADA has set out that people have the right to fill out their own ballots if they want to. Anybody can have anybody help them fill out a ballot, but if they want to do it themselves, that's the option. So we have training for all that, and the chief judges attend there, and they're the ones that have been poll workers for multiple elections, and every year some staff roll off, some volunteers roll back in, or new ones come in, and they attend training. But it's a mentoring thing to a large degree. You have the newest person working the job that's easiest to learn first. And then obviously chief judge is the one that knows all the jobs, and it gets more detailed that way. But it's a big deal. And the chief judge is the one that fields the staff for their particular polling place. They're the ones that decide how to set up their particular polling place. They have to pick up all their equipment, and that's a lot of stuff too. And we have a lot of older folks, and it's a lot of heavy weights. A lot of them are, 30, 35 pounds, I think, devices. And so it's a lot of work for them to set up. They show up at the polling place at 7 in the morning, and they roll out of there at 9 o'clock at night. So that's a 14-hour day.
Wow.
It's a long, long day.
Yeah. Is that kind of a requirement? You have to be able to do the whole day?
No. The chief judge will be there the whole day.
Okay.
We have people can work a half day. And depending upon, where it is and the availability of people to work it, they can, do half days or whatever. But that's up to the chief judge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I imagine you have some poll workers that have been with you for years.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not about the money, but they believe in the democratic process, right?
Right.
Yeah. They want to be part of that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I do know that in these polarized times that some poll workers have been catching a lot of grief or things are more difficult for poll workers. Are you experiencing that?
Sometimes. We've had some actually news people demand to do this or that or want to videotape or like West Priest River or East Priest River. We had a news crew come in from Spokane. And the chief judge there was very much shaken, and she's not going to be a chief judge again because they threatened to sue if they couldn't videotape the voting going on. And they said, no, we don't want that. And so that was it. So we get that. We get some people. There's always issues. Understandably, people think that if anything happens, goes wrong, they're immediately suspicious, and rightly so. I mean, everybody is vigilant about our elections. They want it to go perfectly without anything that they've heard about going on in the rest of the country, so I appreciate that. But what can be explained very easily sometimes hits Facebook first, and that doesn't help anybody. So the best thing they can do is to call our office, 255-3631, and they'll talk to one of us directly.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying call the office on election day if you see something you think is suspect?
Anybody can call our office. The other thing is if you see any kind of a violent confrontation or you feel threatened, don't call our office. Call 911.
Right.
Because that would be, first of all, that's outside of our purview, but that there's no place for that. And that's a form of electioneering too. Mm-hmm. You can't stop or interfere with elections at all. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned people that have been poll workers for a long time. Sue Ellen Creedle just passed away, and she had been a poll worker, a chief judge at the Washington precinct for a long, long, long time. And I just want to publicly acknowledge her service. She did such a fantastic job. She and her husband both. Mm-hmm. So anyway, just wanted to.
Yeah, and that Washington precinct is right in town. Yep, so she's probably saw an awful lot
at the
folks.
Lutheran Church,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. There are rules about electioneering near a polling place. What is the rule there? How close can somebody that wants to wave signs for a candidate be to the actual polling place?
So it's 100 feet, and it's from the edge of the building. So like our administration building, it's a moat. Think of it as a moat because we have elections in one small spot of the building, but the law says the building. So it's all the way around the building. So when you're talking about the Lutheran Church on Washington, mm-hmm. there on Olive, it's all the way around the building.
Right.
Or greater if the facility owns the property. So the property itself, like the Lutheran Church, can say, we don't want any electioneering on our property, and our property goes beyond 100 feet. So they can, I mean, if it went a half mile, they could say nothing within a half mile.
Because that's their private property.
But in no case can it be closer than 100 feet.
Okay. And are we seeing issues where that's getting pushed by some folks that want to wave signs for their candidate too close to the polling place?
We see that every once in a while, and there are a couple of hot spots for that, and that is always an issue.
How does that get resolved?
Well, normally we pace it off, and they most of the time it is at the 100-foot mark, and so they're within their legal rights to do that. Obviously, there's a freedom of speech issue. People have the ability to express their points of view, and the law states in 100 feet. So if they're there, they can do it. Sometimes it's done very tastefully. Sometimes it's done less than tastefully, and that's normally where the rub is. And people just sometimes they're so invested in the outcome that they don't like seeing the other point of view being expressed, and that causes some angst. Mm-hmm.
Of course, a lot of the reason we're seeing angst, if you will, or problems is because there is some folks that feel like elections aren't necessarily secure. What would you say to folks about the security of our elections here?
So our elections are very secure. Now, you know, knock on wood. But we have one of the top two most secure, in my opinion, elections in the state of Idaho. There are lots of reasons for that. We have our absentee ballots, which all the states, all the counties in Idaho have the affidavit envelope that you have to sign to get back. So when you request an absentee ballot from Bonner County, you have to sign the form, or the online form you do has your driver's license signature. We compare that with your registration card signature. Then we mail out that to you. You fill it out. You sign the affidavit envelope on the outside, send it back. Again, we look at that signature. If it's not your signature, and we talked about this earlier, we won't count it. And we try to get a hold of you, say, did you sign this? Would you come in and re-sign it or fill out a new registration card? So that's one thing. We also have unique identifiers on every ballot. We can't link it to you, but our system knows that it's our system's ballot. And so if you take your absentee ballot and you make photocopies for your 50 favorite friends, and they somehow try to sneak them in by hook or crook, somehow, only the first one counts. The rest are void because they've already been counted. And so you can't have somebody making mass ballots and have them ever affect Bonner County. And when we have ballots that have been torn or they don't read right and we have to reproduce them on election night, you know, if you don't know if you've rerun the new ballot through or not, it'll tell you. It'll say, nope, this one's already dead. And we tested that once, and it is, in fact, true. So you can't do those twice. Mm-hmm. The other really neat thing about our system.
Have you had that occur? Have these people trying to do?
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's not even happening.
See, that's the thing about Bonner County, too. There are some people that are just so sure that there's stuff going on, but not so in Bonner County. Mm-hmm. There may be tremendously in other places, but mm-hmm. not in Bonner County. I think everybody here is very careful about our elections and doesn't do that. And if they did, we would catch them.
Yeah, one person, one vote.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another neat thing about our elections is, and it's been a big concern around the U.S. is having, you know, some master company program your system so that if somebody's ahead, they start shaving off votes and giving them to somebody else or whatever. We program our own machines. They never leave our custody. We don't send them out. We don't do anything. We do them all in-house ourselves. So there's no algorithm that sneaks in there and does that. We do that. And then we also, then when we print our ballots, we have a private printer. We do all of our early voting ballots ourselves. So it is very in-house. And the outside touch, you know, affected by the internet or some hackers, it's impossible. Our machines do not connect to the internet. On that note, there's a big distinguishment to be made between our election software with our ballots and our counters and those little electronic poll books that you see. Those poll books are connected to the internet, but those never touch the ballots. Those never touch the results. They don't touch any of the brains of our count machines, anything. All they do is keep track of, you know, Mike Rosedale and has he voted already? And where does Mike Rosedale live? What's his voting history? That kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So that's all those do, but they never touch the actual ballot, the ballot accounting, anything like that.
Okay, so folks do see some electronic devices. It's because they're using it.
Exactly right.
The database of voters is what they're accessing,
yes.
Not touching the ballots themselves.
Exactly right. Yeah. And I understand why people have heartache and heartburn about that. I mean, I've had some people say, well, they could say, you know, they could add a bunch of people in as new voters, and then they could come across and vote. There's a big story about that with the West Bonner County recall, and it didn't happen. There just weren't people from Washington streaming over to do anything. Nobody. Mm-hmm. And then we've had people that get rolled off our voter lists because they passed away. When people pass away here, we get, you know, emails from Kofeldts and whatnot saying, you know, somebody passed away, we pull them off. We get updates from the Secretary of State's office, we pull them off. But every once in a while, somebody moves and they just don't tell anybody. And so that we get updates from different sources once in a while, and those people just simply haven't voted either. And if they did try to vote, of course, they would have to use their signature. They would have to show ID and all those things. So we have a really, really good system. And I don't think any system is 100% perfect, but I think we're as close as you can get to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully that's reassuring for some
folks.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So we're going to wrap up here in just a minute. Let's run again through some of the key dates that people should know. The deadline for declaring candidacy has passed. We have a pretty firm ballot at this point. Michael, why don't you tell us about the key deadlines that voters need to pay attention to now?
Sure. So we mail out the absentees beginning April 5th. If you're far away, get your request in. We'll shoot it out for there. And then every 2 days or so after that. The pre-registration deadline is April 26th. Early voting begins May 6th and runs through the Friday before election, and that is May 17th. The absentee request is May 10th, but again, that's too close to the election date. Don't wait that late.
Yeah,
don't wait that late. Don't even think about that.
That's
one.
The
just
last
do
day,
it now.
That's the last day you can ask for an absentee
right.
ballot.
And then you are really pressing the clock.
Yeah.
And then election day is, of course, May 21st.
Mm-hmm.
As far as...
Go ahead.
I'll just run through the list of people
on
the ballot again. Okay, so for District 1 Commissioner, we have a Democrat, Megan Yeats. She's unopposed. For District 1 Republican, we have James Burrows, Brian Domke, and Brian Riley.
And that's County Commissioner.
That's
a seat held by Steve Bradshaw, who's not up for re-election there.
Yes. Commissioner District 3, which is currently held by Luke Ahmet, there's an independent, Glenn Lafarve. Then we have, for District 3 Republicans, we have Dmitry Borisov, Jeff Glass, Ron Korn, and the incumbent, Luke Ahmet. And for Sheriff, we have incumbent Darrell Wheeler and new challenger, Steve Bradshaw.
Yeah, the current county commissioner. We do have two races that are unopposed.
We do. We have the prosecutor, Lewis Marshall, and Dennis Engelhardt, the assessor.
Yeah, so if you have the Republican ballot, you will see them on the ballot,
right.
But you won't see an opponent for them.
Correct.
Okay, and how about the Idaho Legislative District 1?
Sure, District 1, we have for senators, we have Democrat Karen Mathey running for seat A, Republicans for seat eight, we have Mark Sauter, Spencer Hutchings, and Jane Sauter. And as I said before, the Sauters are not related. For District 1, seat B, we have Democrats Bob Vicarious and Catherine Larson. State Representative seat B, we have two Republicans, Chuck Lohman and Cornell Razor. And
then there will be one federal office on the ballot. That's for Congress, yeah.
For Congress, there is Constitution, Brendan Gomez. We have Kaylee Peterson. For Libertarian, we have Matt Losbys. Republican, Russ Vulture.
Yeah, he is the incumbent.
Right, and then for District 2 state representative, again, we have Heather Scott, the Republican incumbent. We have Lori Perry, the Democrat, unopposed. We also have Tammy Holdall, an independent, for B. And state representative seat B, we have Libertarian Jennifer Luma. So,
in that legislative district 2 is just that narrow slice of Bonner County that's in the vicinity of Blanchard and South, I think. So,
yes.
Okay, well, Michael Rosedale, anything? And also we have Terry Schultz here with us. She's been providing you all the information you're rattling off here. Is there anything else that you want to make sure voters know?
Yes, do get out and vote. I mean, it really depends on people voting and expressing, you know, who they want to win in November. You're, of course, this race is choosing which horse you want to make it to November. But I do encourage everybody to get out and vote. And remember that after you vote, you still go home to your same neighbor next door. So be civil. Do it. I mean,
respect their choices.
Take somebody from the other party out to lunch after you vote. Do that, and then make the best of the outcome at the end of the day, because you're still neighbors and we still live in the same county.
Yeah. And actually, this, as a primary, it's all within the parties. So, we hope that folks will get engaged. I know that primaries typically have a lower turnout.
They do than the general election. I think this one will be higher turnout.
Because you have feisty races, yeah.
You know what? Things started trending differently in 2016. After the 2016 election between Hillary and Trump, everybody got more involved, and a lot of it was voting for their favorite candidate. A lot of it was voting against their most hated candidate, and that's just continued. So I think we're seeing a general rise in participation, mm-hmm. and a lot of people registered to vote that had not done so before because of that, and I think a lot of people are more and more passionate about everything now, so I think we'll see a good turnout.
Okay, well, I want to say thank you, Michael Rosedale, our county clerk and chief elections officer, and also Terry Schultz for being here.